Well, as I was looking at these various texts, the thing that that pulled at least a couple of them together, probably fairly obvious to all of us, was thirst. In our Old Testament lesson, in Exodus, you have the people of Israel complaining about being thirsty. Well, thirst can be a terrible thing. We tend often to talk about how we're dying of thirst or something else, when really what it means is that we want something to drink. True thirst is a profoundly difficult thing to manage. It's one of the reasons why, if it's been a go-to technique to make people tell you things that they'd rather not, is by keeping them from drinking water. I think sort of the rule of thumb is that most people can survive about 3 days. That's how important water is to us. So when the people of Israel were complaining about not having enough water, it actually meant something. They're in the middle of a wilderness, whatever that looked like. It obviously was lacking water, and they needed it. When we flip over to our gospel lesson, we see a different aspect of the same thing. There it's a well. We have Jesus interacting with a woman who's coming to draw water at noon, which doesn't mean a whole lot to us until we realize that this is a lot nearer the equator than we are. And generally speaking, people aren't out at noon. The reason she's out there is because she's part of a group that is generally oppressed and despised by the majority population, so she has to go at different times. She has this ongoing interaction with Jesus about thirst. And Jesus then takes thirst from the reality of not having enough moisture in your body, which is a problem, and turns it into a metaphor for something even more profound, or at least more wide-ranging. There are a lot of different kinds of thirsts. There's the obvious physical one that we all encounter. We find it difficult to believe, I suppose, or it's difficult to imagine what it would be like to not have access to clean water. I mean, it's ubiquitous for us. It's not quite the same as it used to be with water fountains. The number of water fountains in most urban centers is somewhere between 5 and 15% of what it was 30 years ago. They've just been removed because, generally speaking, there are people who would rather you go and buy a bottle of water because it's good for them than drink water out of a fountain, even though it is frequently the same kind of water, sometimes the identical same water, only occasionally better treated coming out of the water fountain than what you get out of the bottle. That's neither here nor there. I'll get off that particular hobby horse. But thirst pushes us to do things that we wouldn't do ordinarily. And physical thirst is a perfect example of that. None of us, I suspect, have been reasonably or really tempted to drink water out of a ditch because it's always closer to us than that. We don't have to get to that extreme. But we certainly read about people who are there in other parts of the world. We read about people who are shipwrecked and they're on a lifeboat and driven essentially mad by thirst will drink seawater, which just ends everything that much faster. Because thirst is that compelling. We're willing to do things that we even know are bad for us. Jesus uses the metaphor of thirst because of its power. And we see it in other places too. There are all kinds of things we're thirsty for. We're thirsty for relationship. We're thirsty for connection with other people. It's a fundamental need of human beings. We're now beginning to realize that one of the most accurate predictors of a shortened life is loneliness, lack of connection. It's part of who we are. It's not just the physical part, but the spiritual, emotional, and mental part also. We need connection with people. And it can be easily equated to a thirst that is as profound and as strong as any other thirst. And in the same way that if there are opportunities for us to drink out of a ditch and that's all we can seem to find, sometimes in relational thirsts we'll do the same. I think all of us know at least one person who got into a relationship, whether it was long term or not, and us looking from the outside could just say, why are you doing that? That can't possibly work out well. That is such a disaster waiting to happen. And sometimes later, if you're in a position to talk about it with the person after the disaster comes true, because we are frequently accurately predicting those things, you'll often hear words like, it was better than nothing. I had no one. I was willing to take that. If you are so desperately thirsty, you will go anywhere where you can get liquid. If you are so desperate for human connection, you will do anything to get it, or you will take any connection that comes, even if it's destructive. Sometimes even if you know it's destructive. We have a thirst for not so much self-esteem, although that's certainly part of it, but we have a thirst to be valued. And if that's not met anywhere else, we'll go somewhere where it is. We'll do anything to achieve that feeling of being okay. And if we can't get it from the people around us, we'll get it somewhere else. We'll get it through being an unpleasant person online and having people notice us that way. There's a wide range of chemicals you can ingest that will give you a momentary sense that you are okay. An artificial sense of well-being that eventually will almost certainly kill you. You may go at it from other, you may work. You may demonstrate your value and how important you are by working far more than you should, more than you're getting paid for, more than anyone expects. Addictive behaviors feed part of us that should be fed somewhere else. But if we don't get it there, we're going to get it somewhere. This is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about how there are all kinds of things we can do that will temporarily address that thirst that we have for whatever we might want to call it. Perhaps we can sum it up at least usefully by a thirst for meaning, that we matter, that we are important to someone, to something, that we have value in and of ourselves, not just in what we do. And that's what Jesus offers. That's what Jesus offers this woman at the well. That's what Jesus offers us now. What we see over and over again all through Scripture, whether it's in this text or another, it's Jesus came to make us understand that we are of ultimate value. There are all kinds of ways, I suppose, that could have been indicated. But Jesus saying, and going to what Paul was talking about, Jesus coming and saying, I am willing to die so that you might know I love you. Not just before we love you, but even while we hate you. What an extraordinary thing. And that's what Paul talks about. He says, nobody's going to die for somebody else, although I suppose we can imagine that if somebody was sufficiently wonderful, someone somewhere might want to die for them. And yet here we have Jesus, who died for us, who died for those soldiers who put him to death, who died for Pilate, who died for Judas. Jesus died for everyone. How that all works out in the end, we don't know, but we do know that Jesus said, I am the way. This is the only way. This is how it works. This is how that barrier between us and God is broken down. This is how the Holy Spirit is opened up in a new way to be with us at all times through Jesus coming, living, demonstrating that you can live this life. It's not easy, but you can. And then being willing to die for what he said, and then rising again to demonstrate also that death had no power over him, and that death is not the final word for any of us. All of this is to address that deep, profound, gnawing thirst that we have to know that we are valued, to know that we matter, to know that someone cares. We need this from human beings. But we need it even more in our innermost selves. Human beings will provide all of the things that human beings can, but there's a limit to that. And that's why Jesus said, you need to be in this relationship with God through me, through God. It's a little mysterious, perhaps, in some ways, how it all works. But at the same time, it's pretty clear. that if we want to be the people that we were meant to be, if we want to live to our utmost, there's a bunch of things that have to happen. We have to be physically not thirsty. We have to be physically not hungry. We have to be physically not exhausted. We address these things by drinking and eating and sleeping. We need to have connections with people who build up who we are and help us become more who we are. And we do that by having families and friends and being part of a community of faith, and other communities also. But we also need to know at our essential being that we are loved. And that we are loved not by a fallible person, a partner, a parent, a child, a friend who will do the best they can, but we know they're fallible. We know they have limits because we know our own. We need that next step. We need to know that we are loved without measure, without end. And that's what Jesus provides. When Jesus talks about this well, this springing up within us, what he's talking about is this ongoing realization that we matter. That God knows us by name, not as a number in the uncountable mass of all humanity from the beginning of time. By name, by person, by personality, with all of our flaws, all of our faults, all of our virtues, all of our goodness, all of us, and loves that person. God doesn't love us on our best day only. God loves us always, even on our worst day. God knows us and said, I will never leave you. It's God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It was Jesus who said, I will put within you a well of living water that will bring life to you. And this is part of what that is. The relationship that we have with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit informing and empowering us about what it means, is what deals with the most essential thirst we have. The thirst that if it is met, we can then work on the rest with even more success, with more power, with more confidence, with more expectation of success. Thirst can be a terrible thing. But the answer to thirst isn't to pretend it's not there. The answer to a thirst for water isn't to eat a cookie. And the answer to that ultimate essential thirst for essential meaning is to reach out to that person. Reach out to Jesus, who has promised to provide that meaning for us. Amen.